Our first scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. He's discussing the coming of the Lord. Chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Believe it or not, we're coming up to the end of the Christian year. The Christian year begins not on January 1st, but it begins around the 1st of December with Advent. And this year, the first Sunday in December will be the first Sunday in Advent. And that means that over the next 3 weeks, we will be closing out the Christian year, culminating in Christ the King or Reign of Christ Sunday, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, the last Sunday of November. As often happens, it moves into a difficult chapter, the chapter 25 of the Gospel of Matthew. And we will be going over the next 3 weeks, this Sunday and 2 more weeks, we'll be going systematically through the Matthew 25, culminating on the Reign of Christ Sunday with that very ominous vision of the last judgment, where as we have done it unto the least of these, we have done it unto Jesus. This week, the first 13 verses of Matthew 25, let's listen for God's message for us today. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and they slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look! Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the witness to God's word. Thanks be to God. Ansel Adams is a great photographer. He's the best known photographer of the Southwest. And he created what is considered by many to be one of the greatest photographs of all time. Moonrise, Hernandez, New Mexico. And I love this photograph. It's mysterious. It's compelling. White gravestones glowing in the foreground. An adobe church shimmering strips of clouds, jet black sky, a phosphorescence, full moon. Now, I have stood on the exact spot on the highway where Ansel Adams took this photograph. But I could not possibly have taken this photograph. No one could. The conditions came together once and only once for all time. This wonderful photograph was an accident, an opportunity to be seized with one's whole heart or lost forever. Adams was returning to Santa Fe after an exhausting day with little to show for it in October of 1941. From the highway, Adams happened to look east just as the sun was setting and the full moon rising over the village of Hernandez, New Mexico. Adams almost ditched the car, and then he rushed to set up his 8x10 camera. But he could not find his exposure meter. The situation was desperate. The low sun was trailing the edge of the clouds in the west, and shadow would soon dim the white crosses and the adobe church. Suddenly, he realized he had memorized the luminescence of the full moon. And so he set his aperture and he took the shot. Just seconds after he clicked the shutter, the light changed. The sun moved below the horizon. The glow on the gravestones disappeared. The moment was gone. And he had the photo because Ansel Adams was ready. His rigorous and meticulous attention to detail in preparation paid off in spades. Adams' philosophy of photography is simple. Always be ready. Now, Jesus would wholeheartedly agree. In fact, that is the exact purpose of his parable today, the parable of the wise and the foolish bridesmaids. Jesus explains to us that there are indeed once in a lifetime moments which never repeat themselves. Entering God's great end of the age party is one of those moments. It's the same in life, it's the same in faith. Ansel Adams' philosophy of photography: always be ready. Jesus' point in this parable: always be ready. Of course, the lot of a bridesmaid is not easy. Those among us who have been bridesmaid know that to be the case. It's certainly harder than that of a groomsman. Talk about bridesmaids being prepared. At Susan and my wedding in August in Florida, the matron of honor put 8 umbrellas in the car just in case. Another made Susan drink out of a sippy cup with a gigantic bib so as not to possibly mess up the dress. Such is the role of a good bridesmaid, the well-prepared bridesmaid, the wise bridesmaid. A bridesmaid like Jesus commends attention to every detail, including making sure there is more than enough oil for the lamps to burn all night to light the way for the wedding hall for the groom. Then there are attendants who don't pay enough attention to the details that have been assigned to them. A member of a former church, tells that at her wedding, the one assigned to bring the flower girl's dress forgot it. Somehow they overcame that disaster. But that would fall into the category of Jesus' foolish bridesmaids, not enough attentions to the details assigned to her. Jesus' point: be prepared, be always ready. Jesus has a second equally important point about the coming of the bridegroom. Be patient, he says. Now, for his acclaimed photographs, and that's plural, photographs of Half Dome, Ansel Adams did a whole series of photographs of Half Dome, this one in winter, but all throughout all the seasons, all throughout all different kinds of light. And he was willing to set up his massive view camera at dawn, and then he would wait all day until the light was absolutely right. He would take a single photo and then pack up his equipment and return home. Adams had abundant reserves of patience, well beyond the human norm. He had no problem taking a single photo in a whole day. But it was always the perfect photo. Well worth the wait. We need precisely such patience in waiting for God. As we think about our present situation, and as we look to the future, we see such great need that we are anxious in this present age to repair the world. That's a phrase straight out of Scripture. Tekun Olam in Hebrew. Repair the world. It is one of the calls. It is one of the commissions that God gives to us. We have responsibility with God to repair what parts of the world we can. But we see so little evidence of God's intervention that we have given up on God's doing it on our behalf. We think we have to fix it all ourselves. We have succumbed to impatience a long time ago. When faced with the enormity of the problems in our world, we throw up our hands in exhausted surrender. Injustice. Environmental degradation, increasing gun violence, our accelerating incivility, war and rumors of war, inequality, and fake news passing as fact. Now, we can be great at getting ready for the big events in our lives, the weddings. We are great as well as prep for the special occasions in God's family for Christmas and for Easter. Our difficulty is being ready every moment for the signs of God's activity in our daily lives. Signs that appear every day surrounding us, but to which we are always almost completely oblivious. To see these God signs in our lives every day, we need to slow down. We need to learn patience. We need awe. We need wonder. We need new eyes for the seeing. And we need new ears for the hearing. God is everywhere. God is everywhere present and every time present, wondrously wrapping us with love, protection, provision, and guidance. But for most of us, all of this falls on deaf ears and on blind eyes. Most of us have lost our childlike sensitivity to Jesus' real presence in our lives. We have unlearned awe and lost wonder. The caustic acids of cynicism and pragmatism are just too strong. Our impatience over our imperfect world and the slow pace of improvement has gotten the best of us. Jesus' second point in this parable: be patient. Always be patient. To apply Jesus' parable, what then do we need to enter God's great marriage party? In this parable, faith is not enough. For you see, all the bridesmaids had faith. Following Jesus, that alone by itself is not enough. All the bridesmaids were at least Twitter followers, or Facebook friends with the bridegroom. Having faith, following Jesus, is only enough to find ourselves outside yelling, "Lord, Lord, let us in." Right belief, splitting hairs over doctrine, that too is not enough. Neither is it enough to follow a formula to make the right profession of faith, to say the right words in worship, to sing the right songs, to construct the right liturgy, to pray the perfect prayer. None of these in and of themselves will get us into God's marriage feast. Being unprepared and impatient, foolish maids burn their lamps long and hard. So you see, the foolish maids were working really hard. They were doing what they thought they were supposed to do. They were very active in their church. They were very active in all the things that God has called us to do. And they were putting all kinds of energy in it, but they were doing it foolishly. They did it in a great show of faith, hope, and charity, thinking that that outward spectacle is enough. The appearance of being a bridesmaid is enough. The wise maidens were doing something different. They were actually living faith, hope, and charity. By choosing to act on what they could in fact influence, that is, whether or not they have oil, rather than worrying about what they cannot do, which is determine the time that the bridegroom will arrive. We are advised to do the same. Make those private choices and incremental changes that we can in our lives, in our homes, and in our communities, the things that we actually have control over. Simple acts of love, rather than chasing after unobtainable rainbows, spouting high-blown platitudes, intending good things, but ignoring the small acts of kindness that we could have done, should have done. These small acts of kindness are important. To become part of God's family, Jesus counsels patience and being always ready to join the great marriage feast of the Lamb. Waiting with deep and abiding patience for the many signs of God's love in our lives every moment, every day. Waiting with rapt anticipation for Christ's return. Waiting with childlike awe and love-struck wonder for God speaking to us and God speaking through us. Letting God permeate our minds and letting God permeate our souls, being ready moment by moment for Jesus' coming, for Jesus' return. That is, for Jesus' advent into our hearts. Amen. Let's pray. Great God of all the rolling spheres, you are hostess and host at the great marriage feast of the Lamb. May we be wise groomsmen and bridesmaids, our lamps trimmed and burning, found awake, always ready and able to join your feast. Grant us patience. May our time, talent, and treasure be dedicated to change what we can change. And keep us from worrying over what we cannot change. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.